Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Accidental Baby for My Brother's Best Friend by Callie Stevens. Narrated by Gideon Frost and Stephanie Kay. Chapter 1. Locke.
A tour, Locke? Did you hear me?
Jackson Arden shakes my shoulder as if I were deaf, instead of just staring at him blankly. Who the hell would give us a tour? I ask, gratefully taking the tequila shot, when the bartender slides it to me. Jackson's proud grin tells me the answer before he speaks.
My baby sister. She raised the money.
Gemma? I try to keep the disbelief out of my voice, but Jackson rolls his eyes.
Don't act surprised. She's been managing Jack in the spades since she turned 18. She's like a prodigy or something.
I hum in response. It isn't as if I don't know Gemma has done a lot to market our band and get us the best gigs. Hell, she had somehow gotten our social media up to 20,000 followers while we were still playing in dive bars. Gemma is capable, that's for sure. But she is also a whopping 21 years old. They say age is just a number, but come on. This number shows she is even barely allowed to drink. How can she be responsible for our future as a band?
Don't be a jerk, Kincaid. It's exciting. We're even booked in Vegas.
Jackson chugs from his big bottle of water, never one to drink before shows. I can't relate. Big crowds make me nervous. Fame has never been my main goal. I live to make music. I never had big aspirations to be a famous musician. That's more Jackson's style. I'm a drummer. I'd be happy enough just to be playing at dive bars, if nothing else. What's really important to me is doing what I love. It's nice to have fans, don't get me wrong, but the possibility of failure when there's thousands of fans rather than hundreds, that scares me. At my age, hitting it big didn't seem like much of a possibility, at least until Jackson came along with his little sister in tow, about half my size, but twice the personality. A tour means that Gemma's big personality is getting us somewhere. And while I'm still nervous, I have to admit, it's also exciting. As if she knows I'm thinking about her, Gemma swings open the back door of the bar like she owns the place, with the most serious look on her face, her button nose scrunched up.
Locke,
she greets icily. I look away when she meets my eyes, signaling the bartender for a beer that I'll take on stage, and Gemma lets out a breath and a huff. It almost makes me want to smile, but I force it back down. Gemma Arden is cute and all. Okay, fine, more than cute. But at a little more than 10 years younger than me, I am not about to let myself look too long, especially since she is Jackson's sister, and Jackson is family to me. Also, those two come from a superior gene pool when it comes to looks. Deep brown with hints of auburn, Gemma's hair has begun to grow out since the last time I saw her a few months ago. Past her shoulders, it bounces when she walks, and the hints of red often catch my eye underneath the lowlights of the bars we always play in. Not that I look at her that closely, of course. Not much, anyway. She and Jackson both share wide eyes with long lashes, a pale green that seems striking on stage for Jackson, and a little intimidating from Gemma. She never did like me much. At barely 19, and me closing in on the dreaded 3-0, she thought she knew best. And maybe she did. I mean, she did get us a tour, right? But she never even tried listening to what my experience could teach her. I get it. They were used to having to fend for themselves since she and Jackson had a rough go of it after their parents died when they were teens. I can relate,
But it was more that I got kicked out at 16, because my parents weren't nearly as supportive as Jackson's had been. Nevertheless, with Jackson, our similar backgrounds of growing up too quickly made us fast friends. It just isn't the same with Gemma. I had already been drumming for various bands and in my own garage for years before I tried out for Jack and the Spades, so I have my own ideas about the gigs we should book. Gemma, however, had already taken on the role of manager by the time we met, so we tend to butt heads a lot. I won't even mention how we were in the beginning. Still, I'd like to think we have a tenuous truce, but Gemma still mostly ignores me and my advice. I see her in my peripheral vision, leaning over the bar and ordering her signature drink, a filthy vodka martini, no vermouth, just olive juice, well shaken. The first time I'd heard her order it on her 21st birthday, I'd made a face. Filthy? That's a hell of a drink for an innocent, I cracked, and she smirked at me.
Who's innocent? She shot back.
I have to admit that her answer had intrigued me, just a little. Hell, maybe Gemma Arden intrigues me a little more in general, despite my best interests. The forbidden fruit and all that, right? My particular weakness isn't girls who've fawn all over me just because I know how to flip a set of drumsticks. I enjoy the chase, and Gemma can most definitely provide that kind of excitement. The fact that she's my best friend's little sister should be a deterrent, and kind of is, but what can I say? I'm a musician, with all that pertains, after all, and Gemma is sassy and easy on the eyes. Just my type, unfortunately. Especially since if Jackson figures out I have less than innocent thoughts about his baby sister, he'll probably break my fingers, or my arms and legs, or bury me somewhere off-path. So I keep my mouth shut and my eyes down, and she runs the show. She's run it well for the 2 years that she's managed with me in the band, even if we do have our differences. Jackson bounces off to talk to the bar owner. He is such a social butterfly, a true lead singer. His voice has a particularly rough quality that fits well with the indie rock music we produce. He's a hell of a songwriter, too, so it's no wonder that we are doing well. And as exciting as it is, like I said, our success makes me a bit nervous, because there is more risk that something can go wrong, and there is no way to imagine my life without music. Music is the only thing that I've ever been good at, and even if it wasn't, it's the only thing that I do that really feels like me, and not just some projection of what other people want to see. Like my parents did. Like my ex did. No, not going there. Besides, it doesn't matter anymore, because this is who I really am. And right now, there's a certain pretty distraction leaning over the bar, and I couldn't be prouder of myself for not glancing down at the scoop neck of her dress. See, I'm a gentleman, not just a drummer. How'd you manage to raise enough money for a tour? I ask, and I don't know if I'm really curious or if I just want to find out what it's like to have a normal conversation with Gemma.
Wouldn't you like to know?
She teases, but she gives me a genuine smile. And I'm breathless for a second. It makes me wish I'd taken a second shot of tequila instead of a beer to take on stage. I probably should have kept quiet, but I can't help myself. I raise an eyebrow, and Gemma laughs, loud and open, those green eyes sparkling. I look down into my beer again as she speaks. This carefree Gemma is having an unexpected effect on me. Not good.
We've been getting a great turnout at these downtown lounges, so I put away 20% of the money.
That's smart, I reply without thinking,
and when I look up at her, she tilts her head, looking baffled.
A compliment from Locke Kincaid?
I scoff. Don't let it go to your head, little bit. Gemma's happy expression turns into a scowl, and this time I can't help but grin. Scowling, Gemma, I can handle just fine. She's a lot less easygoing than Jackson, with her dogged determination, and it's fun to rile her up.
The bartender taps my arm, pointing at the music dials on the wall to ask if we're ready for sound check, and I count my lucky stars that I'm saved from thinking of more ways to rile up Gemma Arden, or to make her smile again. Because that can only lead to a wreck. Been there, done that. Thank you very much.
Chapter 2. Gemma. Watching my brother perform has always been the best part of this job. Well, that, and I can't deny the rest of the spades are serious eye candy. I can admit that my brother is attractive. After all, we share the same genes, and I'm pretty damn cute myself, or so guys tell me. But the other members, well, there's something else. Ranking in number one in looks and talent, in my opinion, is the lead guitarist, Axel Germain. This rank does not include my brother, for obvious reasons. He is the most talented person in the world, and as attractive as he may be, he is still my brother, so yuck. Anyway, currently Axel is performing Eric Clapton's infamous guitar solo from Layla, and my eyes are fixed on him as if under a spell. He has such talented fingers! A girl standing near me all but screeches, and a smile spreads across my face. I look over at her and realize that she's one of the Spades' groupies, one of the girls, along with some guys, who follow the band around from dive bar to dive bar, city to city. Their fans are pretty chill as they go, but they're predominantly young women, of course, and some of the guys can be easily distracted. Sometimes I get irritated with having to act as a potential bouncer, but I'm in such a good mood tonight that I don't even feel slightly annoyed. I bet, I drawl, laughing a little, and even though I know he can't have possibly heard the exchange over the music and amps, Axel's blue eyes meet mine, and he drops a slow wink at me. Not one to be outdone, or possibly faint, as the blonde next to me might have. I wink back, biting the corner of my lip, and Axel grins back widely. My eyes move from his face to his right forearm as he finishes up the solo. Axel has never revealed what his tattoos mean, and I am more than curious about them, truth be told. Axel and I became close friends almost right away, both being extroverted and a little too blunt at times. My brother would skin Axel for just that wink if he wasn't distracted crouching down on the front stage, crooning out the lyrics to a redhead in the front row. Besides, I'm busy enough keeping my brother on the straight and narrow as well as managing his band. I'm not actually interested in dating Axel, or anyone for that matter, but it can be fun now and again to flirt. The bassist gives me a big open smile as I weave my way to the front to adjust one of the spotlights that appears to be shining directly in his face, and I grin back with a little wave. Sam blushes, and I'm endeared, as always. Samuel Hansen is the baby of the group, and even though he's 4 years older than me, he does seem younger. Sam is a sweetheart, though, much different than the rest of the group, especially the drummer, Locke Kincaid. I reach over, pushing the spotlight slightly to get it out of Sam's eyes, and he nods at me gratefully as they start the opening bars of Baba O'Reilly by The Who. The first few songs they perform are covers, of course, because all these dive bars have a certain vibe that they expect Jack and the Spades to form into. That will all change when the tour comes, and I'm so excited about it that I can barely contain myself. My brother and I have been writing songs together since we were kids. Or, at least since I was a kid, and I've had a hand in penning some of the lyrics of Jack and the Spades' songs. Of course, I never told any of the others that, because Jackson and I do it together, and it's his dream, not mine. I'm not sure if I have any dreams. Not exactly, anyway. I just want to make sure that Jackson is happy and successful and pay him back for all he's done for me after our parents passed so suddenly. If life has taught me anything, it's that nothing ever lasts forever, and I'm happy doing what I'm doing. So I'll continue doing it and making Jackson's dream come true until I find my own. And I wish Mom and Dad were here to see it. No, I don't want to think about my parents right now. My first filthy martini is down the hatch, and my second is sloshing around as I sway to the music, moving back to the middle of the crowd so that I'm not in the spotlight. It's not that I mind being the center of attention. It's just that I want the band to stand on its own. And although they have captured the attention of nearly every woman in the bar, the scouts that we're looking for in terms of record deals, the ones I email every week without fail, are mostly male. I guess the saying is true. It is a man's world. Jack and the Spades are talented, and I don't just say that because my brother is the lead singer. Axel and Sam can both play lead and bass guitar, so that they sometimes swap parts. And even though I'm loath to admit it, Luck is a damn good drummer. I sigh heavily as the iconic percussion for the song begins. Luck hits every beat as if he's performed the song a million times, and I suppose he might have. Locke's the oldest member of the group, and he has the most experience and the most ego, at least in my opinion. Jackson laughs at me and says that Locke is one of the humblest musicians he knows, especially given his years of experience and talent, but I beg to differ. Locke and I have been in a dozen arguments in the last year alone, even though I suppose he's gotten better in the past couple of months. He's even given me a compliment before the show, which might be the most shocking thing that's happened all year, despite me being able to pull off a nationwide tour with just our cover charges and tips over the past 2 years. Jackson is so lucky I'm able to save without sacrificing the equipment and venues that the band needs because I know what's important and I've done my research, especially given his impulsive nature when it comes to things like money and women, but that's a different story. The more successful the band is, the more stability Jackson and I have, and the happier he is, the happier I am. That's how it's always been. Me and Jack against the world. Thing is, Jackson is the only family I have, and by extension, I guess the Spades are my family too. Even Locke, I suppose. Still standing close to the edge of the stage, not thinking about it, I glance over at him, since he is in my thoughts. Locke is almost always focused on his drum set or his drumsticks, lost in the music. Tonight, however, he's looking out at the crowd, and I happen to meet his eyes while he's waiting for his next part. For as much as I want to deny it and push it away, Locke is probably the most attractive of all the members, at least to me. Everyone has a type, you see, and unfortunately, mine is the grungy bad boy. There might as well be a picture of Locke Kincaid underneath that phrase in the dictionary. Locke is currently wearing a black sleeveless shirt since he's taken off his trademark black leather jacket and thrown it behind him halfway through the first song. And even with the dim lights of the club, I can see the veins of his forearms as he twists the sticks, the way his biceps bulge just slightly. He pushes his hair back from his face, sweating under the lights since they're almost halfway through their set. The break is minutes away, and instead of the polite nod I expect, he gives me a crooked half-smile, and unlike with Axel, I am unable to recover as easily. Locke is my type in a way that Axel is not. That's all. Surprised, I stumble sideways into a groupy blonde who's too busy staring at Axel to even react, spilling part of my martini down my dress and huffing out a frustrated breath. I could swear Locke is laughing as I head to the bathroom to clean up, but of course, I'll never be able to prove it. He's been acting weird tonight, and I make a mental note to tell Jackson never to let him take shots before a set again. Locke Kincaid is gonna be the bane of my existence, even on this tour. I just know it.
Chapter 3. Locke. At the break of our set, while I'm still smiling at Gemma spilling her martini, Axel is looking around the crowd. I stand up and rub my face with the hand towel I keep on stage, being careful not to snag my silver nose ring. It's not as if it's new. I've had it for nearly 10 years. But I've made that mistake before, and it's not pretty on stage. That blonde is waiting for you at the bar, Axe. Don't worry, I joke, and Axel shoots me a grin. Not looking for her, he says mysteriously, and I shrug. I don't ask questions about what the other members get up to when the set is over. It's none of my business, as long as they don't get physically hurt. If they want to roll the dice on getting their hearts broken, that's on them. I've done my fair share of rolling the dice in that area myself. I don't worry too much about Axel, or even Jackson for that matter. They've been around the block. Axel seems to get a new girl every night, and Jackson has a girl every few months, and seems to get over it quickly and move on to the next. I worry a little about Sam, just because he's so young. 25 might not seem that young to most people, but since I'm in my 30s, it's very young to me. I remember what I was like at his age. Idealistic, just knowing that I'd somehow make a living off my musical talent alone and meet the perfect woman. I don't want sweet Sam to have to go through the same things I did, so I admit that I keep an eye on him. Not the way that Jackson keeps an eye on Gemma, of course, but I do tend to watch out for some of the groupies that have a thing for bassists and keep them off his trail. It's not that I'm celibate or anything like that, God forbid. I've been in quite a few compromising positions, especially since there's a certain type of woman who tends to go after the drummer instead of one of the more out-there members of the band. They tend to be a bit more aggressive, and it's fun to play dumb until we're behind closed doors. Turning the tables is one of my specialties, I suppose. Being a rocker has its perks, even if you're still performing in bars and clubs. Gemma comes out of the bathroom, and since her dress is black, the martini didn't ruin it or even make a stain, and I'm grateful. She'd be really mad instead of just annoyed, and since everyone is in such a jovial mood, I wouldn't want to ruin things by getting in a real fight with our manager. I expect her to ignore me. Instead, she stalks right up to me. I'm tall, but in her stilettos, Gemma is almost eye to eye with me, and her chin is tilted up.
What's up with you, Kincaid?
Gemma demands to know, and I fight a smile, blinking innocently at her instead. I don't know what you mean, little bit.
Don't call me that,
she mutters, and brushes past me, bumping my shoulder as she heads to the bar. I've never exactly been the type to like to rile others up or tease people, but something about Gemma makes me want to make her pale green eyes flash at me. It's not because she's younger than me, or because she's my best friend's younger sister. God knows I have zero brotherly feelings toward her, even if maybe I should. The way she reacts to me is just more intriguing than those women who come on to me just because I'm in a band. More intriguing, and a lot scarier, especially given that Jackson was staring daggers at me as I thought about his sister. I clear my throat and make my way to the bar, on the other end of where Gemma is standing, no doubt ordering another filthy martini. You better not be doing what I think you're doing, Jackson says, his tone eerily nonchalant, as he orders 2 shots of tequila for us, despite knowing my distaste for liquor during our set. I take in a deep breath. No idea what you're talking about, Jax. I take the shot without hesitation, avoiding the urge to look for Gemma at the other end of the bar. I've got enough to worry about on this tour that I don't need you and Axel making eyes at my baby sister, Jackson grumbles, taking only half his shot, which is almost as unusual as what he's saying. I begin to nod, And then my eyes widen, and I look over at Jackson. Axel? The tour? My head is spinning, and I doubt it's from the alcohol. Jim is not coming with us. It isn't a question. There is no possible way that Gemma Arden is coming on tour with us. What's she gonna do? Sleep on the tour bus with a bunch of guys? And what the hell does Axel have to do with Gemma? You haven't noticed him winking at her on stage and showing off his stupid sleeve? Jackson huffs. I've been on the defensive, keeping him away from her since sometime last year. What, are you blind? I blink, something feeling tight in the pit of my stomach. Maybe that last shot of tequila was a bad idea after all. And I may not be blind, but definitely wrapped up in my own thoughts in the past year, especially when it came to Gemma and the future of the group. For some reason, I find it hard to think about Axel coming on to Gemma, even though I'd already come to terms with the fact that I had zero brotherly feelings toward her. I guess maybe I'm a little protective nonetheless, on Jackson's behalf. Honestly, I don't like the way I'm feeling as I think about it. So I focus on something else, the other important matter at hand. Gemma isn't coming with us, I repeat, staring straight at Jackson. Jackson frowns. Of course she is. She's our manager. How many times does she have to prove that to you? She's the reason we're going on this tour in the first place. But she has to... She can't... I find myself stuttering, trying to think of a solid reason for Gemma not to go on a tour with us. A reason other than I am finding it harder and harder not to flirt with my best friend's younger sister, that is. Don't have a stroke, Locke, Jackson says with a laugh, clapping a hand on my shoulder. Maybe I read you wrong. You know I get a little touchy when it comes to Jem. I'm glad that you guys are getting along. I signal the bartender for another shot, even though I know it might make it a lot harder to stay on beat. How long is this tour again? 12 weeks. I choke on my tequila, and the bartender graciously slips me a plastic cup of water. I smile at her, and she winks in my direction. At least a possible distraction from Gemma Arden stuck on a tour bus in close proximity to me for 3 whole months. Jesus Christ. 2 hours go by in a blur. That's concerning, really. I'm not usually one to drink during sets, but of course, after the show is over, the bar owner bought us all congratulatory shots, and I don't exactly remember talking up the blonde bartender with the red skirt on. The next thing I know, the bartender's legs are wrapped around my waist in the bar bathroom, and it doesn't occur to me to be bothered that we're outside the stall, because my mouth is on her throat, and the music is drowning out the way she's gasping into my ear. I guess it doesn't occur to me which bathroom we're in either, because when a woman's screech, and then laugh, sound to the left of me, I don't think much of it, until I look over into Gemma's pale green eyes. Her smile fades, and I have to blame what I do next on the tequila, because I'm not normally one for public displays of affection, preferring to save my skills behind closed doors. As I said, though, Gemma Arden inspires something different in me. So when her eyes widen, but she doesn't leave the room, I just shoot her a grin and hitch the bartender's legs up further, lapping my tongue from her collarbone to behind her ear, never taking my eyes off Gemma. Gemma's mouth opens as if she's going to say something, but instead, it snaps closed, and she leaves the room as if nothing happened.
Chapter 4. Gemma. When Locke Kincaid joined the band, I knew he would be a problem. I had been their manager for about a year by then, and he...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?